T. Fanning, Reel 1.
Had 21 press appearances.
21 press appearances?
Yeah, crack, wise cracking. Uh-huh. Well, one of them was Franco expresses a wish for her own Berlin victory.
Uh-huh.
Eh? That's the Spaniard who blighted my life. That's about all kind of wisecrack.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you come to go to Spain in the first place?
Well, I was already a party member.
Yeah.
And being well known, I was very well known in Manchester, but Betty would tell you. Mm. Chaps coming to me. Mm. Sent them to Fountain Street. And I always try to look for quality, not for quantity. Mm. And sent the best. And at that time, I used to work for the Evening Chronicle as what you call a solo seller, the guest ectner. Mm. Nearly all news comes out at night. Mm. Two or three line stamp would tell me.
Try not to look at me because he wants to get by this.
Oh, that's alright. Okay. And then you went.
Anyway, in 1936, World Journey Challenge Troops landing in Spain. Great Minister European Peace, tonight's special late news. So I'm full of it.
Mm-hmm.
And being a party member of 50 years in politics, 30 years in the party, I'm well acquainted with what's going on. Anyway, to cut the story short, that's the first story of Spain.
Yeah.
And so on the principle that you don't ask chaps to go, you go yourself. So I went out at the end of January 1937. But first time I got turned back with Porter, Harper Porter.
Yeah.
He got killed. I was turned back. That went Folkestone Calais, I think it was. Anyway, I was turned back. But I went out the following weekend and went out without a question being asked. Depended who you met there. You know, whether it's a popular frumpy civil servant or a fascist. Anyway, I went out. Well, I had a battalion at Magic Wares, as it was mobilising to go to the front. And it was made known to us that those who had previous military service could please us all whether to go to the front or remain behind for training. Mm. So I opted to go to the front.
But it's people who were without military training or with military training?
No. But people that had previous military service could please themselves, whether they remained behind for training or whether they went with the battalion.
Oh, I see. But all the others had to remain.
All the others had to stay behind.
Oh, I see.
So I opted to go with the battalion.
Mm.
And having an Irish name, they put me in the Irish section, number 3 section and number 1 company.
Mm.
Eh? So that was under Canama. And as you know, number 1 company is up there. The main assault upon us. Well, came out of that company, the roll call was 16 of us.
Yeah.
There was less killed or wounded. So I took part in the long run, back to my 22-year-old.
Yes.
And the funny thing there, I was last man away. And I was extreme right hand man of the battalion. And I shouted to a shot, anything doing, give us a shout. I think I'd only been asleep about 5 minutes. Hey, they're on top of you, they're on top of you. Look, they was. There was all the battalion off an alpha leather through the olive groves.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, this was the first time that fast moving tanks, you know, mini tanks, we might call them.
It was the birth of the blitz.
They were coming at us from both flanks.
Mm.
And it's a good job they did bugger up. Eh? Mm. But I saw them clearly.
Mm.
So when we got near the Madrid Valencia Road, where we ducked all our kit in that culvert, you know, coming down one side, we struck Cunningham. and I'm coming down this side. We're both running together at the apex. He said, running away, comrade. I very near said, come on, down there, bloody hell, pick on me.
You know, could you explain who Jock Cunningham was?
Eh?
Jock Cunningham.
Well, he'd now taken command of the battalion on the third day.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Mm. He'd taken command of the battalion. Mm. And,
Well, whereabouts was he from?
Pardon?
Whereabouts was he from, Jock Cunningham?
I couldn't tell him.
I can give you a lot of detail.
I couldn't tell him.
What sort of bloke was
he? I only knew him in Spain.
Oh,
and all that I can do is call him a damn good soldier.
Yes.
He was certainly that.
Yes.
Anyway, he said, pick these bondukes up.
Now, let your sugar and milk your own.
No.
Then you'll have what you like.
He said, pick these bondukes up. So I picked them bondukes up, went down to the bottom, and there's all the lads.
Mm.
We're all in some mix, all kind of nationalities.
Mm.
And we was given a ham sandwich and a packet of 20.
Tommy?
Yeah.
That's yours.
Right, thank you. I've got it. And just before darkness, we was mobilised together, all got together. We marched back, and then we deployed halfway up the hill, back to where we'd come from, in the olive groves where we'd come from. And we made an attack, but the enemy flew.
Mm.
And apart from being on Conical Hill, we took the position back, apart from Conical Hill. Well, it was on the 17th that we made an attack, and we went through the olive grove. They let us get about 25 yards from them, then they paced us, machine gun fire, and the lot. The lads were going down like nine pins, but previous to that, they'd have chat.
Now, I think you can manage now.
Lovely, thank you very much.
I'll leave you to help yourself with sugar and milk, because I don't know how you like it.
With his stomach ache, I'll hand him round.
Pardon?
With his stomach ache.
Has he
got any? He's got some.
I've got some. Not quite for what I want. Anyway, as we were advancing on the enemy, he's a chap, ultra brave and all that, but foolish.
Mm-hmm.
He would go about 4 or 5 trees in front of everybody else.
Yeah.
Because he always went 2 to a 3.
Yeah.
And advanced yard by yard.
Yeah.
And he would insist upon going 4 or 5 yards than anybody else.
Yeah.
But I have a military training.
Yeah.
I have three British Army enlistments.
Mm.
Would you like a biscuit with your cup of tea? Sure.
That's fine, that's fine.
So, all my military instincts return, naturally.
Yeah.
And, well, he got peppered, and he come right back to me.
Hmm.
Again, I continue with the action. While an action's on, you carry on.
Yeah.
Any rescuing you're going to do is done in between, and after. So I just carried on. And I think I registered a good hit. Because from the same quarter, won't come back and it mean the third. But what mate did that? You take a kneeling position up behind them trees as you're advancing, you take a kneeling position. The left fires to the right and the right fires to the left, so that you miss the trees.
Mm.
Anyway, I stood up and I spotted 4 heads on the sunken road, what the enemy held. And I let go, and I think I registered a hit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got it. Because I started to look at what chances I had to bring him in.
Mm.
And while I'm just wondering about that, and I now stood up, I'm wondering about that, I got it in the time.
Mm.
Then you've read the story.
How
little Albert come and pulled me out.
Door.
At a very great risk to his own life.
Mm.
He was certainly a brave lad, whoever he was.
Mm.
And I was taken to Mercy Hospital. But first of all, taken to some small village.
Yeah.
in the schoolroom, from there onto the train, down to Mercia. Straight out the ambulance, straight onto the donkey. There's two doctors there and Nurse Wright. And they said, well, we'll have to take your leg off to save your arm. I said, all right. He said, you took a nice English, don't you? I said, why have I been swearing? Anyway, they tell me after that they give me up for once. Mm. But I came round. Then I did a month's convalescence at Benicassim. Mm. Yes.
What were conditions there like? Conditions like when you were doing your month's convalescence?
I mean, oh, wonderful.
Was it all right?
Oh, in the hospital.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Couldn't be better.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Looked after very, very well. Mm. No complaints whatever. Mm. No complaints whatever. Mm. And same on convalescence. Mm. And then he was doing Commissar Albacete.
Pearson? Bill Pearson.
The South Wales man.
Pearson. Bill Pearson.
No, that was.
Oh, wait a minute. No, Will Painter.
Bill Painter.
Bill Painter, right.
Yeah. He sent for me to go up there. So when next morning after arriving there, they put me in number one hospital. Next morning, I presented myself, and he says, well, you look all right, you're nice and clean. He said, you're not demoralised, me. So I just said, well, I shouldn't be, and I said, it's all over for me, isn't it? He said, well, listen, he said, I've sent for you. We want, we haven't got a speaker from the battalion at all. I said, you can do a bit of speaking, can't you? I said, but I've done a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to send you home as soon as I can. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, I don't want to go. He said, why? I said, it's fine, it's a job here. He said, well, what can you do? I said, I've been doing Commissar in Albacete in Benicassim for you, receiving blokes and sending them back. Mm-hmm. I said, it was a post office job, any job you like. No, I said, you're going home. So I was chased on. Mm. And the first meeting I did was the Stafford Crips at Bellevue. Mm. A week that I arrived home on the Tuesday. Mm. And on the following Saturday I did my first meeting with Sir Stafford Crips. Mm.
And how did it go? Did it go all right?
Well, it was a wonderful meeting, yes, Bellevue. Mm. I've also spoke with varying personalities. Naturally, I helped in the campaign at home and sent hither and thither. I was sent with the wise brother in a radio car, you know. Mm-hmm. He worked for the Daily Worker at the time. Mm-hmm. And went through Edmond all over the place. And I claim that I did more work for Spain before I went. And a lot more after I came home. Mm-hmm. That's what I claim. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, there's nothing.
Mm. Well, what sort of support did you get?
Pardon?
What sort of support did people in Manchester, for example, give?
Well, I would describe the response from the public as a whole in those days as very sympathetic. Mm. Mm-hmm. Very sympathetic. Mm-hmm. Amongst the working class, anyway.
Yeah. How far would this sort of cross traditional political boundaries? How far would this support cross the traditional sort of political boundaries?
Well, you must know that the workers were held back in the main. While they were strongly sympathetic, mm-hmm. they were held back by the fact that the Labour Party, the National Labour Party, went along with the Tories and Liberals yeah. with non-intervention and...
Yeah.
So that's what held them back, if we'd have been stronger. Mm. But even then, the support we got was marvellous. Mm. Mm. We had some very, very big meetings. Mm. We had one meeting in Stevenson Square. I was put up as first speaker. And Stafford Cripps. Mm. We took a £30 collection there, mm. which was one of the biggest collections ever taken in that square. Mm. But all over, we were very good, well received. We found no opposition.
Yeah. Manchester had a very project, one of the best.
Yeah.
Manchester and Glasgow, for my money, rank alongside each other.
Was there anywhere else outside of Manchester that you'd speak? Would you speak about Spain anywhere else that you spoke?
Well, you know, I've got names now, you know.
In Lancashire, places like Bolton.
But one time,
Liverpool.
I went to Liverpool once. I didn't meet Jack Jones, I didn't know him then. But they put locals up with me, but truly wasn't me, you know. I don't remember names. Because over the years, I've been the unemployed organiser in Manchester. And you train yourself not to know names. You say comrade. And the policy to forget names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, why is that? Could you explain?
Because of the police.
Oh, I see your point. Yeah.
One of the most dangerous jobs in those days was to be an unemployed commission member or an organiser.
Yeah.
And I was the organiser.
Yeah.
And I've done time. Mm-hmm. And then once got 4 months, I did 3 hours at the same time. Yeah. He would have been fine. And that reunion we had a few months ago at Downing Street,
yes,
Eddie pulled me up. Because how many younger marches was you? And I said, I was on the lot. So what do you know? I said, I was the organiser, the unemployed, I got 4 months. I said, I was on all your younger marches, all the lot. And I said, what's more, I was doing that 4 months when you was doing yours. And you had two lovely black eyes. He did have an all.
This was from the dude near the fire station, wasn't it?
Pardon?
This was from the...
That was what we call the Battle of London Road.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't remember that, would
no,
you?
No, I just read about it.
You should have told about it.
I thought you wouldn't remember it. Much too young.
Oh, it was when? 1931,
30?
Going back a bit now.
Anyway, what took me to Spain was... I'm not claiming to be an intellectual Marxist, but I think I know a lot of the answers when I was those years. And there's just the... Anyone understood that the Spanish working class went down. Other working classes went down, plus the danger of a Second World War. And I think, if I remember correct, the last meeting that I did was along with George Brown at the YMCA in Manchester, and I'm echoing similar sentiments than what I'm echoing now. That the defeat of the Spanish Republic inevitably means the Second World War. Now, when I come back, and I told a story, and got Bill Russ to bet it, the second day after I got home, and actually reported to Fountain Street to the party, and word had already been sent out to Spain by a Daily Dispatch reporter, Keynes, he was the nephew of Admiral Keynes, and that my job was all right to come back. He said, this solo job. So naturally I gave them the story. And the story that I gave was, the two headlines were, Britain rescued from certain death by a German comrade, so fascist badges, Gibraltar shall be ours. Mm-hmm. See? And then the story followed up, the danger to the empire roots, you know, and all that business. And I couldn't care less what happened to the British Empire. But still, as I'm trying to Willie Rust, Bill Jenkins had said to me just beforehand that the dependent side's getting in trouble. Well, I said, I'll answer that one. We want new pockets, don't we? Find new pocket. So I did this one.
Yeah.
And I didn't know then, at that time, that Esmond Romilly, he'd done the same thing in a letter to his illustrious uncle, Admiral Churchill. He'd done the same thing. That's in the book, Hunts and Rebels, written by his wife, Jessica Mitford. Anyway, Bill vetted it, thought it was a good idea. But when I was at this meeting at Bellevue, I could see, educated, Marxist intellectual, looking at me in a strange way. You know, thinking I was going to make a bit of money out of it, or political... I suppose that was in my mind, but it wasn't. As a matter of fact, I understand that £300 coming in the first week. New pockets.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all about I really can tell you, but names, I can never remember them. Mm-hmm. In any case, mostly I didn't want to know. Particularly if there were party complaints.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
Over the years, I turned myself to not know names.
You mentioned very early on that you were, if I understood you correctly, you were vetting people who were going to Spain.
Yeah.
Before you yourself went.
Yeah.
Well, what sort of criteria would you use to decide whether a bloke should go?
His political content.
His political content.
Because that's what we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't want adventurers, although...
Did you get many adventurers?
Oh yes, quite a few.
Yeah.
And what I knew of them when they were there, they were good.
Right.
They were good.
Yeah.
But in the main, we didn't want those. We wanted those with political content.
Yes.
And knowledge of it.
Yeah.
Well, when I would talk to these boys, I'd give them the... tell them the story.
Hmm.
Well, they went with like me some knowledge, and if I thought that they were... They'd make soldiers, and they had a semblance of knowledge of it. Send them to them. You could better go to Fountain Street.
Mm. And where were you doing this? You were doing this what, in the Manchester Party offices, or where?
Oh, no, I wasn't doing it. I was doing it as an individual.
Oh, I see, yeah.
A comrade would go to the party office, and they would have no, wouldn't know anything about it or anything. So I understand.
Mm.
Then when he went, he sent a comrade after him and tell him them where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was being sent, he'd be bought a Marks and Spencer's dollar lane coat and a cap if he was badly dressed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just send him on to London, or perhaps send him on back through to Paris.
Mm.
Because me being so well known, chaps are pulling me up. How do you get to Spain?
Yeah.
What's all this volunteering about? Mm-hmm. I tell them.
Mm.
If I had any the slightest suspicions, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because it was all semi-illegal.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, the first week that I went out clear. But the second week when I went out, meanwhile, Anthony Eden, I'd got some acts passed, you know,
the
pension is going.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we come back, the dirt pinch any of us.
Yeah.
Could I break in here and say this? He decided that they would operate what's called the Foreign Enlistment Act, which made liable anyone who fought in Spain liable to 2 years in prison.
Mm-hmm. But was anybody actually done for that?
No.
People,
they did.
But people.
I think it was more of a bluff.
But
because we didn't know that then.
There were cases of being intimidated at courts in this community.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a bluff. I'll tell you for why. They dare not.
That's right.
We had two King's Councils.
Mm.
We had Major Attlee, and Euron Bevan, and different big national personalities who were supporting us.
Dean Pritt, for example.
Dean Pritt.
Aye. Yeah.
And Dean Pritt and Cripps.
Yes.
They were supporting us.
Mm.
So and then there were many of the trade union branches were supporting us.
Yes.
And I've addressed quite a few trade union branches.
Mm.
Sent from trade union branch to trade union branch all over the place. Even to churches.
Mm. Yes. How many of the lads that went out from Manchester that you saw going out to Spain, how many of them would have had any sort of military training, would many of them?
No, let me see. No, I can't think of one that had. I think I would be the only one, apart from Sam, of course.
Yeah.
There was Val.
Ah, but he hadn't got previous military training when he went.
Oh, no, he was
and then again,
19.
He was a father nation of ours. It was a Jew boy. Mm. He was already in holiday in France. Skipped over the border.
Yeah.
But he'd no previous military training.
Yeah. He wasn't old enough.
Of the Manchester lads that went, and we lost 17. Mm. And can't think of whether any of them were ex-soldiers.
How many of them would have been party members before they went?
Oh, you can say 75% easy. That might be a low figure.
Yeah.
Because the 16th Battalion of the IB, that was the battalion that went on the Karama, you could say 75% of them were party members, could you? Mm. Oh, the Communist Party lost some good blood out there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, lost some good blood to the party members. Many of those lads that went, when I was the unemployed organiser, I could call on them. To make a speech or get outside number one relieving station, see what's gone wrong there.
Yeah.
You know, that was perhaps an old couple had been, first time in their lives, they'd been up in an institution order, used to set them back in.
Yeah.
Come on, give them a committee.
Yes.
Yeah. Give them a food voucher till they see the committee, come on, carry the rules and regulations out.
Yeah.
Because the relieving office in those days, but his bosses had to keep his finance sheet down as much as possible.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't know he was entitled to see a committee first.
Yeah. How successful was that sort of casework type?
Pardon?
How successful was that sort of casework on unemployed relief? I mean, what would when a member went of the Unemployed Action Committee went in and said,
I'll give you an idea. First of all, the NUWM had won the right to represent people in unemployed offices and that, and on the court referees. Well, I used to represent them on the court referees, not the only one, but I was one of them. And it wasn't agreed between us, it was recognised, because even the chairman, he only got £2. You know, sitting on that court, and whatever it was, and naturally we used to get the worst cases.
Yes.
By rules and regulations.
Have you finished with your cup?
I'm sorry.
Rules and regulations.
Well, it's a shame to be holding it. Have you done?
Yeah, I'm just finished with it there.
Which you couldn't win per rules and regulations.
Yeah.
But I had something else. That was the I could split hairs. I could lift it out. So Kurt Kearns was the chairman. So say to me, how many cases have you got? Four. Which is good and which is bad. I'd go 50-50 with him. I'd go 50-50. Win two where I couldn't win, I'll throw two to the wins. That's a difference.
Yeah.
I should have won none.
Yeah.
You spread up again.
So you had it worked out before?
Yeah. And then, of course, relieving officers, if they were bullies, you'd bully back with them. Let them have it.
Yes. Were there lots of them that were bullies?
Well, taken on the whole, I would say no. Most of them were pretty decent. We had one bad one, who's a Paul, I forget his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the hometown hall.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name. But one time, and he was after one of my members' bloods, after his blood, Pearson. So he got caught fiddling. So he couldn't win the case outright.
Mm-hmm.
And he had six kids. so he can minister church and put it harder for the lot. Look, he's taken it before a committee, couldn't win. But he was a fighter, and he had a very good wife. So he said, all right, I'll take it. Take it. So on the day, the band came, took the kids to Crumstall, who was due for Thames Street. And we walked back to the town hall, where the relieving station was. We went in there. He said, well, really? He said, you're supposed to be on your way to Thames Street. He said, don't get worried, I'm going.